Alrighty. Who's ready to get into the Word for just a few minutes this morning? You ready? Man. I know they already said thank you, but I want to say thanks again to everybody who was able to come out yesterday to the work day. We got so much done. All the rain that we've been getting, the new campus grass is green. It's growing. It looks fantastic. I bet we mowed probably 20 plus acres yesterday. I mean, there's 55 acres out there, but we got a lot done on the inside. Got some donations transferred to the new Branch 15 house in Clinton. So a lot of ladies I saw wearing their Branch 15 shirts today. And supporting, how many of you guys know that every time, it sounds a little hot back there, and you know I'm going to get louder in a minute. So every time you give, you know, what we do is, you know, that just doesn't all stay here. We have global missionaries that we support around the world. We have local missions and missionaries that we support, regional ones too. And Branch 15 just happens to be one of those. And, you know, they're there to support women in difficult life situations. And a lot of them are transitioning from incarceration because of whatever they may have been involved in. But, you know, man, that's a difficult transition sometimes for some people if they don't have a good support system. And so they've already interviewed, as I understand, you could talk to Pastor Marquita, who is the area director for that now. They've already interviewed their first candidate, and I think they got several more that they're interviewing to go into the home as soon as it's ready and getting really, really close. So be praying for them. A lot of good things happening. Thank you. Golly. Y'all about left me hanging there. There are a lot of good things happening. Listen, we got to stop focusing on the bad stuff. Look around for some good stuff. Before we really got too deep into this pandemic thing, you know, we had sent out an update maybe around around May or something like that. And we said, look, you don't have to just survive this. You can thrive. Do you remember the story of the children of Egypt who had become enslaved? Did I say the children of Egypt? The children of Israel who had been enslaved in Egypt. There you are right there. You've been sitting there the whole time? Okay. Listen, something wrong with these seats? If you go to the Thunder basketball game, these are the prime seats right here. But y'all want the back ones, so we'll start charging more for those. Okay. Where was I at? What was I talking about? The children of Israel had become enslaved in Egypt's bondage, and then God raises up a deliverer, you know, and Pharaoh didn't want to let him go. So all the plagues of Egypt, guess where the children of Israel were when all of those plagues were happening in Egypt? They were in Egypt. Guess how many of them were affected? Zero. Zero of the children of Israel were affected by any of the plagues. How many remembers the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and one bad amigo. I think it's something like that. I don't know. But anyway, the king, because they wouldn't bow to his image, threw them into the fire. Hello? The Bible says that Jesus got in there with them. Not only did they not get burned, but when they got out, they didn't even smell like smoke, which tells us you can go through some of the same stuff the world is going through, but you don't have to smell the same way when you come out on the other side. God is big enough to keep you. Hello? God is big enough to protect you. You don't have to get sick like everybody else is getting sick. You don't have to worry like everybody else is worrying. Come on. That's what salvation, the word in the Bible for salvation is the Greek word sozo. It means saved. It means delivered. It means healed. It means at peace. It means prosperous. That Jesus just didn't die to get you into heaven. Jesus died so that you could go to heaven whole and peaceful. Hello? I want some heaven to go to heaven in. I don't want to have to go through hell and then get there. Come on, we don't have to suffer right now. Did anybody grow up in a church that used to sing Amazing Grace, the old verse, the old versions, just a few more weary days and then, oh my gosh. Yeah, I'll fly away. I said Amazing Grace, didn't I? I got to get my act together this morning, don't I? That's two if you're taking count. It's two flubs already right there. Okay. I'll fly away. Growing up, we were just, all we were ready to do is get out of here. Come on. But our focus, everybody say focus. Brother Jim asked me today, he said, preach about focus this morning? I said, yep. And keep preaching about focus until I feel like God tells us to, you know, focus elsewhere, do something elsewhere. But man, we just, growing up, it was all about getting out of here. It was all about the escape plan.
Come on.
It was almost like we didn't care what happened to unsaved people. We just concerned about us. We want to get out of here. We got to change our focus. God saved us and left us here on this alien planet. You're never going to feel like you belong. The Bible, the Israel's called pilgrims. They're called strangers in a foreign land. The Bible calls us aliens. We don't belong here. We're not of the same caliber. Well, I want to say caliber. We've been changed. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And the reason you don't belong here, the reason you don't feel at peace here at home here is because you're not supposed to eternally. We're here for a mission. Look at your neighbor and say, we're on black ops. This is black ops, okay? You can't even just tell everybody what you're doing, right? But you got to know what you're doing. You're in alien territory. Well, you're alien, so it's alien to you, right? But we're here to share the good news. For goodness sake, Christians, stop sharing bad news.
Come on.
Stop sharing bad news. We can get that on TV. Stop sharing bad news. How many sections do we have? Stop sharing bad news. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be carrying good news. Listen, you're talking to somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You better share something good. Hello? Do you know, Pastor Scott, it's hard to get people to come to church. Yeah! When all you do is share bad news. You wouldn't want to come to church, would you? I mean, I know it's a pandemic and everything, and Pastor Scott doesn't even know what he's talking about most of the time. Children of Egypt, children of Israel, he don't even know the difference, you know. I'm sure you got better things to do. Anyway, I thought so. Never mind. I'm sorry to bother you. It's hot. Come on. Am I over-exaggerating too much? If I am, it's for dramatic effect. Okay? Share some good news. But here's the clicker. Are you ready? It's hard to share good news if all you're taking in is bad news. It's hard to share good news if all you're thinking about is bad. Because in this crazy life, hello, and on the battlefield, you're out here and you're going to get bumped, you're going to get hurt, and when you get bumped, something's going to come out of your bucket. And you know what's going to come out? Whatever's been coming in. That's why if you're on a roof or somewhere and you smash your finger, that's when we know what's been going in. Because if Jesus, hallelujah, comes out, all right, that gives us a good indication. But if foul, filth, and foul, and sassafras, and whatever else, I don't know, not supposed to say in church, I guess, I don't know. Does that make sense? So I think it's Psalms 19:14. David said, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart Be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. It's not just the words that come out of our mouth, it's what we meditate on. Because what we meditate on will eventually come out. Hello, good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. You can't get bitter water from a sweet spring. Hello, that's what the Bible says. So if we're the ones called to share the good news. You know what? Stop cursing the darkness for being dark. Stop complaining about the news. That's what their job is. Their job is to sell the bad stuff. Their job is to sell. Their job is to get ratings. Their job is to get advertisers. Good news doesn't sell. How many know how fast good news travels compared to bad news?
Come on.
Somebody said, and I don't know if this is accurate, I didn't look it up, but somebody said it took less than 24 hours for the world to know Princess Diana died in a tragic car accident. And there's still people in the world that hadn't even heard the name of Jesus. Listen, we gotta refocus. We're in a season. About a year and a half ago, we launched a campaign here called a regeneration. And if you spell out regeneration, right in the middle of that is E-R. It's R-E, then G-E-N, then E-R. Those are the emergencies. Those are the issues. Those are the problems. But our job is not to focus on the problems. Our job is to turn those into re. We are refocusing. Hello. We are rebuilding. That's our job. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but we are to revive. We are to refuel. We're not to retire. We're to refire. Come on, because we're the only ones that have the light. We're the only ones that have been given the commission to go into the world with the gospel, the good news. When's the last time you shared some good news? I love to experiment with people sometimes and just, you know, say, man, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, but just can't wait to see what comes out of their mouth. Yeah, but it's hot. I'm like, yeah, but yesterday was beautiful. Yeah, but next week it's supposed to be hot. I'm like, man, you can't please somebody. You can't even convince them of some good stuff. They're just in such a deep hole. Hello? But we gotta be like the Good Samaritan. We gotta get in the ditch sometimes with people. And we gotta point out, you see that little ray of sunshine? That's hope right there.
Come on.
You see that? That's a good thing. You see that? That's good news. Hello, come on. We gotta do better about sharing good testimonies about, you know, man, we can share about somebody needs prayer requests, somebody needs healing, somebody's sick, but let's share about who got healed. Let's share about the good things, right? Come on. Come on, let's share about the good things.
Come on.
We got a little work to do. It's just refocusing. Ron Harrell, where you at? Ron, oh, look at him. He just jumped up like you were telling me about your daughter. There was a prayer request that ran out to her. Yeah. She was in the hospital, was looking pretty serious. You want to tell everybody what you told me today?
Well,
here, use that. Just hold it right up there. It's all right.
Okay, a little over a week ago, my oldest daughter, Tanelle, had heart failure. She was in the hospital. They run tests on her, found tremendous amount of fluids around her heart. She was in very poor condition. Anyway, through the week, they run more tests. She went to Baptist Hospital. But to make a long story short, this Thursday, we had already declared over her.
Come on.
And Thursday, they couldn't find anything wrong. They was planning on surgery, but God healed her.
Amen. Come on.
She is home. She's very tired, but we give God the credit for all that.
Come on, somebody give God some praise for that. Love you, man.
All of you.
He said, I was waiting for you to call on me. And we didn't have that planned at all, but I like how he just popped up. That's good news. Somebody who went in with heart failure and said, nah, we don't need to do surgery anyway. Come on, that's good news. Why don't we share that with somebody at the restaurant today? Next time you're talking to somebody and they said, yeah, so-and-so checked in with heart surgery or heart, you know, say, hey, I heard some good news this morning. A girl in our church had the same thing, but God healed her. Praise the Lord. I bet he can do the same for you. And then you could just walk off and see what they do. I bet you they'll start chasing you down. Come on. Ain't nobody going to chase you down if you share some bad news. But I bet if you share some good news, but leave out a few details, they'll be like, excuse me, come back here. How? How did that happen? Who, how? Actually, I was sitting in a barber chair getting my hair cut when I used to get my hair cut outside of the home. And I actually had a lady ask me, she said, do you pray for people who are sick? And I said, absolutely, we pray for people who are sick. I said, well, and she said, why? I said, because we believe God heals. We believe that God still heals. I said, don't you pray for people at your church who are sick? She says, yeah, but I think it's just to maybe make them feel better. I'm like, look, not everybody knows the good news that Jesus still heals today. Are you listening to me? Even people in religious circles haven't been taught that Jesus still heals today. A lot of people in religious circles have been taught that God is mad at them and they better tow the rope, because if they don't, he's going to smack them upside the head. He's going to make their washer and dryer machine go in the blink. He's going to make the battery in their car go dead. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. And let me tell you some good news. God's not mad at anybody, not since the cross, because all of the wrath, all of the anger, all of that, Jesus took that one time in his body on that cross for all eternity. Now when God looks at you and God looks at me, he's got to look through the work of what Jesus did on the cross. And man, let me tell you something, what a filter he is, because by the time God sees me, I'm clean as a whistle because of the blood of Jesus. That's what being washed in the blood of Jesus means, right? My heart was black as with sin as anybody, but when Jesus did what he did, and then when we decide to put our faith in, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, we were buried with Christ through baptism. Do you know that's why we observe water baptism? Because it's a symbol. When we had a baptistry here, that was Weatherford water. It wasn't holy water. Some people even call it unholy water. It just depends. We go out to Canton today, it's not holy water. It's walleye water, okay, and other things. Hello, somebody yesterday, he said, I'm bringing my fishing pole. Try to catch some of them walleye. The water is not what saves us. We're just participating and following Christ's example as a symbol of what's happened on the inside. See, when Jesus saves you, you're not going to come out looking different. Your hair's not going to be different. You're not going to be a different shape or different size. So everybody's not going to know unless you're telling the good news. So God gave us a public profession of our faith called baptism. And we go under that water. Romans says it's like we were buried with Christ. And guess what? When we come out of that water, we are raised from the dead through the glory to live a new life. Everybody say new. To live a new life. When you said yes to Jesus, you said adios to the old life, and you said hello. I don't know. Hola. Just gonna sit down. That's my word. I said hola to everybody, and I couldn't even remember it this morning. I think I need the lake. I think the water's calling me. I think I need some beach time. Adios. Hola. It's what happened in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, the new, everybody say new, the new has come, the old has passed away. What does that mean? When someone dies, we try to phrase it a little easier and we say they passed away. That's what happened to your old life. It died. Yeah. It passed away. And all things, everybody say all things became new. See, before Jesus, you had a personal mission. You drafted it. You promoted it. You lived it. But then when you said yes to Jesus, that you died.
Yeah, come on.
And then a new you in the image of Christ was raised to life, taking on his mission now. See, you're not you anymore. You're in Christ. If any man therefore be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things, old mission, old you. Yeah. New you, new mission. New mission means new focus. See, before Jesus, you focused on Friday, baby. Friday night, whoa, whoa, yeah, come on. And all that stuff that my kids don't like to see me do or say. Because I'm not cool anymore. Right? To which I say, I don't care. Woo, woo, I do what I want to do. I'm a grown up. You understand? Focused on Friday night, baby. Going out. Going to Page Town, read, whatever. Got, you know, hello. Going to Cowboys. Woo! You know, going to give them a little boot scoot and a little two-step. You know, going to do whatever. Going to drink the night away. Hello. Going to party till the sun comes up. Hello. Oh, come on. Some of y'all acting like y'all never did that. Stop it. God's going to get you. No, he's not, is he? See how easy it is to put that bad news in there? But that's not accurate. That's not accurate. God loves you. Hello? So that was the old focus. Come on, now you got a new focus. You got a new mission. Hello? That mission is clarified in Matthew 20:18. He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to do that today. We're going to do what Jesus said to do. We're sharing some good news right now. We're going to go out. You know what we're doing? We're having Baptism Sunday and Communion Sunday all in one. You know what communion is? Communion is an intimate meal. It's a fellowship among the... We're going to go out there. You know what communion is going to be today? Hamburgers and Mountain Dew. Come on. Who? I need more than that little styrofoam thing that's in that prepackaged communion top. Back there, that little shot glass of you know, grape juice has been fermenting for the last couple years. Now, let's be honest, communion is, you know, it's supposed to remind us of what Jesus did, and that wasn't a very pretty picture. Maybe that's why they make it so bad. But today it's going to be burgers and Mountain Dew and Diet Dr. Pepper and whatever you drink out there today, all right? And we're going to be able to celebrate. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's our new mission. That's not just my mission. That's your mission. That's yours and yours and yours with the good news. That's how we make disciples. We share good news. Who doesn't love to see a very happy person show up? I mean, really. Now, there's some people nobody here, but there's some people you're like, man, it's just going to be, I'm going to say how you're doing. They're going to say horrible, and then it's going to be 30 minutes. I got to get these potatoes home. I got to... My ice cream's going to melt. Hello? But there's some happy, positive, uplifting people. And how do you feel after an encounter with them? Do you feel encouraged? Do you feel you're like, man, they're doing good. I'm going to do good too. Man, come on. Hello? That's how people should feel when you leave. Because you're so full of good news. Like they want to share some bad news and you just trump it with another good news story. Oh yeah, but what about this one? Well, so-and-so sick. Yeah, but so-and-so got healed. Hey, come on. Did you see the new COVID numbers? X amount of people, you know, tested positive. Yeah, but did you see the recovery rate? About 98-99% of the people not dying. Come on. We have this is a responsibility that we have to share the good news. The pastor that we grew up with, he said, man, sometimes you can't tell if a Christian has salvation or upset stomach. Bless God, you grew up in a church. Anybody grew up in a church where the deacon stood on the back wall like this? Didn't look happy to be there. Wasn't not approachable. We got Mr. Dale Owens that stand up here, going to be greeting at the door. Beautiful smile, firm handshake. Man, I can't wait to shake his hand. That looks like someplace I want to come into. But we don't need a bunch of guys just standing around mean mugging. Pastor Dan Schaefer in South Oklahoma City, pastor Crossroads Cathedral, one of the mega churches back in the day, put up a sign one time, says, yeah, no shorts in the sanctuary. So God told him once, I said, what are you doing? You're trying to keep out the people that I died to get in there. See, sometimes we can post bad news at the door. We don't even have to open our mouth. Sometimes the look on your face is bad enough. You don't have to say nothing. I'm just like, come on. Some of y'all is trying to smile and look all pretty right now. Hello? Are you with me? I got till 1 o'clock, right? We don't have to pack up and leave till 1? I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Okay, let me try to wrap it up if possible. Talking to Valerie, I think, last week after the message, and she was taking notes, and she said, you answered my question. I was like, what is my mission and all this? And sometimes we can get a little confused because I've been thinking about that all week, praying about that all week. Sometimes because we have a job and we have a mission, it's not always the same. Yeah. See, let me read this to you so I don't try to get it right. Your job is what you do so you can pay your bills while you're on mission. So you can do anything. You can do whatever you want to do to get the bills paid. But that's not always your mission. Your job is very possibly the part of the world that you have influence in. What's the Great Commission? Go into all the world. Okay? So this has a lot to do with what we call your individual shape. Shape is an acronym for S, your spiritual gifts, what God has given you. H, your heart or your passion, things that you're passionate about. A is your abilities, what can you do? P is your personality. We all have a different one of those, thank God. And E is your experience. Or experiences. What do you got experience in? What experiences have you had that prepare you for this career? And we all have different shapes, so we all, a lot of times, have different jobs. But it's those jobs that pay the bill while we're on mission for Jesus. And many times, that's an indicator of the part of the world God has called us to. Come on. If you're a teacher, then you get paid a little bit. But you got to remember that that school is also a channel in which you have influence. Now, I know teachers are like, oh, I can't talk about Jesus at school. When did I say talk about Jesus? Or did I say going to all the world? You can go in the lunchroom, have a conversation with other teachers. As I understand the law, if a student approaches you with the question, you have the freedom under our Constitution to answer that to the best of your abilities. Are you living a life to where your light is shining and drawing people to you? Are you attracting people or repelling them? Did you know that's interesting about Jesus? Everywhere Jesus went, people just ran to him. Yeah. Even, now, maybe, Holy Spirit, should I even say this? They had crossed the sea, Jesus and the 12 disciples, and they stepped out on an area called the Gadarenes, I believe it was, near a cemetery on the slope of the hill that sloped down to the beach, and a demon-possessed man. Jesus stepped out of the boat onto the shore, and the Bible says a demon-possessed man with no clothes on, broken chains hanging from his wrists and ankles, ran to Jesus. Could you get this picture? Like, when we get to Canton today, I'm going to see if I can hire an actor. Yeah, some of y'all is getting the picture now. Like, you know, Pastor Scott, please don't do that. He steps out of the boat on the beach, and a demon-possessed man comes running out of the cemetery. Not to kill Jesus. But the conversation is something like, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Falls down at the feet of Jesus, because something about Jesus attracts everybody.
Come on.
Jesus said, what is your name? Is that the first question you would ask a demon-possessed person that didn't have no clothes on? That had chains that just ran out of the cemetery? Excuse me, who did you say you were again? Didn't quite. Can you have ID on? Oh, you know. What is your name? Here's the reply. My name is Legion, for we are many. Ooh. Then there was a little bit more conversation, and Jesus finally got tired of the chit-chat. Said, go. The Bible says that all of the demons, a legion is up to 1,000 soldiers. Oh, my goodness. He said, go. They said, well, there's a conversation with the demons. Demons said, well, if we're going to have to leave, can we go into the pigs? Jesus said, go. The pigs, the Bible says, the demons left and went into the pigs. The pigs went crazy and all ran off a cliff into the lake and drowned. Even the pigs had more sense to get that crap out of there. Hello? Listen, and I really did hesitate to share that story because I don't want anybody being afraid. Well, if my light is shining, you mean demon-possessed people may be attracted also? Maybe, but it's for a purpose. The disciples, when they got there and saw him, the Bible says he was seated there, clothed, and in his right mind. And then when they needed to leave, he said, can I please go with you, Jesus? Jesus said, no, what I need you to do is stay here and share the good news. Oh, woo! Of what God has done in your life. Sometimes your world is your city, your town, your job. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Haiti. Just show up to work with a smile on your face and a testimony of something good God did either for you, something you heard on Sunday, something you saw on TV. Hello. And I promise you, if you make that your focus, it won't be long to where people's got something I need you to pray. I understand you always have these testimonies about I got something going on. Come on. And sadly enough, one of the first things we think of is, I ain't got time for people to be calling me and bugging me and interrupting me. Did you notice that most everything, Jesus wasn't going to heal or deliver the demon-possessed man. He was going to the Decapolis, there, that 10-city region, but he encountered that man. There were so many times, so many of the stories that Jesus was in somebody's house teaching and dust started falling from the roof. We in California? Is this an earthquake? And all of a sudden, a little light started shining through. And then some more tiles, and some more tiles. And before you know it, there's a gaping hole in the roof. Jesus was trying to have church, y'all.
Come on.
What? Would some of the ushers get out there on the roof and tase those guys who are trying to... Are you serious?
Come on.
Call the popo. Because we gotta. This is distracting. And before you knew it, you see a head or a foot, I don't know, and a guy on a stretcher. Jesus is teaching. And a guy on a stretcher. His four friends are lowering him on a stretcher by ropes. They couldn't get to him because it was so crowded. Some of y'all need some friends like that. Some of y'all need to be a friend like that. And they let this man down right in front of Jesus. Just like, guess we have an opportunity. Laid hands on him, healed him right there. How many opportunities? See, Jesus was on his way. A centurion, here's another story. A centurion came to Jesus and said, can you come, you know, and heal my servant or whatever? And then there was another story about somebody that had a sick girl. But then Jesus got interrupted with something else. And so he went ahead and took care of that. And then somebody said, don't worry now, they're already dead. And Jesus is like, don't worry, it's going to be all right. We'll keep. And we're afraid to get interrupted. We're afraid. You know, but that's just what happens when you're the light. That's just what happens when you're sharing the good news. That's your new life. See, and if you're not interested in that, you need to have a conversation with Jesus, because that's what the new life is supposed to be. Here at Liberty, we believe there's seven channels that all life flows through. There's the church and family, but then there's government, business, education, arts and entertainment, and media. And listen, that's the world. How many know those are all, the government's a whole world by itself.
Yeah.
Education is a whole world by itself. Come on.
Media
is a whole world by itself. Some of y'all are called to go into those places. Some of y'all work in those places. And I looked this up this morning, and those are all channels and possibly your mission field. Did you know that when we read Matthew 28:19, it says, go make disciples of all nations. Some of y'all are like, I don't like to fly. Especially in flying, if I got to wear a mask and all this. That cockpit air, are you serious? That air, that cabin air? It's already rank. I don't want to go up there when everybody's all coughing and sneezing. So God, I'm sorry, but I'm not going into all the world. I took one. I thought I wanted to be a pilot. Pastor Marquita arranged for me to take a lesson here at the Weatherford Airport. I did really good about all the pre-stuff. I did good. And then, man, I was there, you know, and we took off, and I was doing good, and I was following directions, and he said, I want you to bank, you know, we flew from there over to Hydro, and I got about right here. And it was like, I'm not feeling very good. And he had to take over, and we had to head back, and that was my first and last lesson. So the moral of the story is, I'm not a pilot. I don't like to fly either. I don't like all the hurry up and wait. I don't like all the delays. I don't like all the cancellations. I just want to drive. I can stop when I want to, roll down a window if I want to. Come on. So see, going into all the world, the Great Commission, doesn't mean you have to go to India. Longest flight I ever had in my life. 20-some-odd hours on a plane. You sleep on the, you go to sleep, 8 hours if you can, you wake up, you're still on the plane. Another 8 hours, and you go back to sleep. Are we there yet? Takes a couple days, really. I don't like to fly that long. So I don't believe that the Great Commission means that you have to go to India or Haiti. It may mean go into the channel of education, go into government, go into business. Some of you have a family. Some of y'all's biggest mission field is your own family. And some of y'all's like, no, I'm going to India. Yeah, 23 hours, do that standing on my head. Do not send me to my family. Did you know, I looked this up this morning, over 40% of people will never leave their home country in their life. So how can the Great Commission mean you have to go to another country? It can't. 11% of people will never leave the state they were born in. So if that's true, how do you go into all the world? You go to your place of work. You go next door to your neighbor. You go to Walmart. And I know I had to go to Asia yesterday for a plumbing emergency. And this is probably against the will of God. I shouldn't even be telling you this. But you know what I was thinking on the way in there? God, don't let me run into anybody, because I got to get this part. I got a leak at my house here in town. I got to get this fixed. But I'm so used to encountering people. I just like, God, I ain't got time right now for anybody to be, you know, Lord, can I just, here's $20, I got to get out of here. I'm sorry, I failed as your pastor yesterday on that deal. But I just, you know. But that's the life. That's the new life. That's our new life. That's our new life. If you said yes to Jesus, the old you died. And you got a brand new life, brand new focus, brand new mission. Get on it. Get on it. Hello? Get on it. It's time. Nobody else is going to do it. When I say nobody else, I mean there's not an alternative race of people on another planet God's holding out and said, oh, if this one don't work out, some of you might not believe me. You got a new mission. You got a new, hello? Get on it. Get on it. God needs you. God needs you to shine your light. God needs you to share the good news. And people need it. Will you stand up to your feet this morning? People need it. So, Pastor Guy, I'm supposed to pray for people at Walmart? Yeah, if the opportunity comes up. Come on. I'm just supposed to stop my cart right there and just pray for people at Walmart? Yes! Aren't there rules about that? No! You mean we can just pray wherever? Yes!
Yes.
What if I don't have my Bible? That's why you read your Bible. Because you got to, you need the Bible in here. Because you ain't, because you're on mission. Hello? When you're a soldier out on the battlefield, you ain't got, like, where's my handbook? How do I operate this weapon? What do I take off safety? Oh, where's the safety? Where's the safety? You ain't got time for all that. It's war. These people are getting beat up. And you got the good news. At school. You got the good news at school. In the eighth grade, you might have these opportunities.
Come on.
Come on. Come on. I can remember some of the most profitable times to me in my life was high school and going to church, being committed to Jesus. And I would, and listen, you don't got to preach to people. You don't got to be that weird church person that always has your collars, you know, and your tie and your hair. You know, you don't have to be that person. You just be you. But be good, a good sharer. Smile. Act like you like people. Be like Lena. She always is smiling. Come on, you know. Hello? Be that. Pastor, I don't always feel like smiling. I know, neither do I. But it's my new mission. Didn't ask for it.
Got it.
Wasn't even sure that was going to. I mean, I found it out after I enlisted.
Imagine that.
Yeah. What? Nobody told me I had to smile and be nice to people. Yes, some of y'all's like, I can't do it. But in Christ, you can do all things who gives you the strength. There's some people come to you like, I ain't smiling at them. I'm not smiling at them. Hey, how you doing? I don't know how I did that. Jesus did it. Can I tell you this and we'll pray? Some of us think God's called us to be farmers when He's called us to be gardeners. Did you know God made Adam and Eve and put them in a
garden?
You know the difference between a farmer and a gardener? A farmer sows for profit. Gardener sows for beauty. Oh, God didn't make Adam and Eve and put them on the farm. God made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, said, tend it, expand it. Let's see this garden cover the globe. Let's make it pretty. Let's make it look good. Let's make it smell good. Let's make it sound good. Let's make it be good. That's your job, Adam. God, get Adam, your job. Make it look good. Come on, come on. We moved into a new house last weekend in the country. Told Pastor Marquita, I said, we're going to make this place look good. It already looks pretty good. But I've been trimming trees, old scraggly shrubs and stuff, and trimming them up. So we make this place look good. And that's what we're supposed to do wherever God has sent us.
Yes.
It's not how can we profit from this person. How can we profit from this encounter? How can we profit? It's how can we share good? How can we leave good? The job description that Jesus shared in Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news. Preach just means share. To bind up the brokenhearted. Can you do that? Can you bind up the brokenhearted? To proclaim freedom to the captives. I guarantee you, if you'll listen today, you'll find somebody you run into captivated by something.
Yeah, come on.
They're in an addiction. They're in an issue. They're in a problem. And you can proclaim freedom to them.
Yeah.
I like what Ron said. Ron said his daughter was in the hospital, but we declared over her. Woo! You know why you see, I didn't talk about the power you got to do all this stuff. Bless you. Freedom from Corona. Isn't this sad that every time you... Is anybody... never mind. To proclaim release from darkness to the prisoners. You're going to run into somebody in their lives full of darkness today and you could shed some light.
Yeah, come on.
To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can you run into somebody today and say, you know what? Can I just tell you that God loves you? And leave a nice tip. To comfort those who mourn. Can you do that? Can you provide just an opportunity for people to grieve for a moment? He said, I'm here to give beauty for the ashes. I'm here to give the oil of gladness for mourning. And last thing, and exchange and give people a garment of praise in place of their spirit of heaviness. Jesus said that was his job description. And because Christ lives in us now, that's our job description. And if we'll focus on that, what a beautiful place the world would be. What a beautiful place your work would be. What a beautiful place your home would be. Let's ask Jesus for some help. Father, this is the mission. This is what you've called us all to. Holy Spirit, the Word says you are our helper. You give us the power, God's power to do these things, and you help us, you speak to us, you pray for us. So thank you for the power you've given us to do this, to focus on the good things, to share the good news. God, give us the help that we need to do this and make the world a more beautiful place because of you. We give you the glory and the praise for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.